because we want it, you know, we have to defend, you know, in the Old Testament, before we pray, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Old Testament especially, you know, God would make them go to battle to defend their land. And we have to defend our land. We got to defend the things that are in the best interest of our country, our people. And so there's nothing wrong with going to war when it needs to happen, to defend our land, to defend our country, to defend our people. We cannot let anyone from anywhere take advantage or do something destructive to our land. And so we got to do that. So if you can, raise your hands. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, you see what's going on with our country. But Father, I pray that you would give our President, Donald Trump, wisdom, Lord. Show him, Father, what to do. Lord God, you know how to answer those prayers. You know what to tell him. You know what to speak to him. Put the right people across his path that can give him wisdom beyond measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Because I know reading the reports, you know, he was about to sin and do, and something happened. We don't know. You know, God knows what needs to happen. And so praise God, maybe things don't have to go that direction. That other things can bring them to their knees. So we pray for that to happen. Let's raise our Bibles, make our declaration before him. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today,
as
his word
brings
life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, I tell you, it's been some hot days, huh? Ooh, I tell you. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Also, just a matter of note, Andrew was telling me he's going back to the prison this Monday again. You might say, well, golly, he's going. I thought it was supposed to be once a month. Well, nobody's going. And so, you know, I told Andrew, I said, God's going to respect and honor you being willing to go, you know. I mean, you know, you might say, well, is it easy for him? I mean, he works in outdoor, but he has to go in early so he can have a little bit more time to take off. You know, to be able to go and do that. And you can't just go in your work clothes, you know what I'm saying? So you have to change and do, so it takes time. But if you would, don't forget, if you can, pray for him tomorrow between 1 and 2 o'clock. That's when he goes, 1 to 2 o'clock. And just pray that God would just move. Do you know what you're preaching on tomorrow? Not yet. Okay. What you preached on last week? You remember? Well, I know it's kind of...
He knows.
Oh, I know he preached on hatred, and that was one. But I mean, that's okay. So, you know, we just keep on going. Keep on going. And so pray for him. The advocate. Oh, okay. Okay. The advocate, like Jesus being our advocate between us and God. Okay, great. That's great. Lifting up Jesus. The Bible says if he is lifted up, but it says he will draw all men unto him. Man has to lift up our God, Jesus. And when Jesus is lifted up, it says that the Holy Spirit will draw all men to the Father or to him. So that's what we have to do. We have to draw people to Jesus no matter what. The Apostle Paul. We all know the scriptures, and we're going to read it in Acts, where it talks about the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples. Okay, he's not one of them. But he is one that God used mightily in Scripture and in the Word of God. God used this man to preach the gospel and to do mighty, mighty things in the gospel. We know this was a man that went in, he was being groomed to be taken over as the next priest. And so he was being groomed, but he would go in, and he would go into Christians' homes and take them out, and he would have them, some of them persecuted, whipped, killed, whatever it took. I mean, he thought it really, you know, that was Saul, okay. Let me talk about Saul. So that was Saul, his old man. He would do all these things, and he'd go after Christians because he thought he was doing basically the will of the Father in that area. But we know this in Acts chapter 9, I think it was. If you go back, go to Acts chapter 9, I want to read those scriptures where it talks about the conversion of Saul into Paul. You know, I always remember this, people. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. We're going to read in scripture where it says that God handpicked Paul, Saul, changed his name to Paul, to do a mighty work for him. My God. He handpicked this man to go and do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God, mightily. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. I know you and I have been praying for family members and people that we know of to get saved, and it seems like nothing is happening on the outside that we can see. Always remember, God works on the inside first, out. Religion works on the outside in. Changing everything on the outside first, that's religion. God works on the inside in. So we don't know what's going on with your family. You keep praying. You keep bombarding heaven. You keep, is he making a noise? You keep bombarding heaven and asking God to move in those areas that need to be moved in, you know, for your family members. Ask God to move. Keep knocking on that door. You keep knocking till the answer comes. Don't give up. Sometimes we give up too easily. Have a little tenacity on the inside of you. A little bulldogness on the inside. Say, I'm not giving up. And devil, I don't care what you throw at me. I don't care what comes my way. That I will continue to pursue my God. And I will run to him because, as the song says, he is our refuge. The God that we can depend on. The God that can move. The God that can do all things that we can believe him for according to his perfect will. That's the kind of God we serve. But in Acts chapter 9, as we look at Paul, you know, we often read the scriptures in the 14 books that he wrote for the New Testament. And we say, awesome is he. Yes, great is he. But you know what? God chose this man to do a mighty work. Praise God. And God has chosen us to do a mighty thing for his kingdom. His kingdom. Acts chapter 9. Let's read those scriptures first, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Look at this. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. A change of heart. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, king and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered to his house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way as you come, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and as it had been scales, and he received sight, forthwith arose and was baptized. Here we see, trying to lay the footprint down, Saul had gotten the permission from the high priest to go to Jerusalem and other areas to arrest and do whatever he wanted to do, basically, of Christians that were in the way, they called it. They didn't say Christians back then, the way. Don't ever give up on anybody. Do you think because Saul was persecuting the church and Christians, that Christians weren't praying for him? They were interceding and praying and asking God to move upon this man, move upon him. They didn't know how God would do it. They didn't know if God would do it, but they believed God that he could do something. And God handpicked Saul. And we know he was on his road to Damascus to do the things he would do best. And that was to get these Christians, persecute them, bind them up, kill some of them, do whatever he wanted to do. And as he was on his way, it says that a light shined. See, that's out of what we can do. See, this is the deal. We pray for people, and the Holy Spirit does the work. But sometimes we want to do both. We pray, and we want to do the work. And that's when we get in trouble. Now, God wants to use our mouth. God wants to use our actions. God wants to use. But we have to pray and ask God to move upon our family members, to move upon the friends that we've been praying for. Asking God to move, and that God would shed light upon their life. Bring them out of error from the Word of God. Bring them out of error from disobeying God. You know, no man can come up with this plan but only God. And God shined that light. He fell off that horse. He went into Damascus. Ananias came. Ananias said, Lord, don't you know that this is the man that has persecuted Christians? And he says, yes, I know. And you see, honestly, in these last days, God is going to move upon Christians like he's never moved before. He's going to come in visions and dreams and speak to us. And he will tell us to go, and I want you to go and pray for that person. And we're going to say, Lord, you sure? I've heard that he or she has talked evil against the church, or evil against Christians, or evil. And God is saying, I've chosen them. Go and pray with them and lead them in the right direction. You see, that's the Spirit of God. You see, we got to remember, as we pray, we should have faith to believe for a harvest to come forth. We don't pray to our God just to say, well, we prayed for them. But we're praying in believing God to move upon that situation, upon that problem, upon those people. And by faith, we believe that God will do what he wants to do in that situation. See, we pray and it's out of our hands. We pray and it's out of our hands. We pray and it's out of our hands. We pray, we believe God, and when it's time, he'll speak to us if he needs us to do or go see or go pray with somebody or help in whatever areas. See, that's faith in our God, to believe God, that God can do anything. And then I just went there and prayed. He was shaken, I'm telling you, even though he knew God had said to do it. Because he didn't know for sure if the setup he was thinking. But he went in, knocked on that door, walked in, prayed over Saul. His name was changed to Paul. The scales fell off his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and was baptized and started preaching the gospel. See, the power of Almighty God. And people, we're in the same places where God needs to take scales off of our eyes to see things clearly through the Word of God. We need God to move in us. Because let me tell you, we think, well, Paul, man, moved by God. I mean, he had a great thing to do. But let me tell you, you and I have great things to do according to the Word of God. God has called each and every one of you to for something, to pray, to seek, to help in the church, to do something. God just doesn't save us just to sin, people. But now we don't do anything for salvation because we've already been saved. We do things because God tells us to, and we obey his word. But here we see Paul. After God had that great conversion upon his life, it says this, that he went on 3 missionary journeys. And when I say missionary journeys, he walked or he rode a camel. Or he did something like that. He didn't have cars. They didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes to fly and do all that. But he went on 3 missionary journeys with Barnabas. He went to Sardis and preached the gospel. Then he go to another city in Perga, Antioch, Lystra, where, you know, the little girl was healed of that, the crippled disease. The second missionary journey, he went to Macedonia, Philippi, where that spirit was cast out of divination. The jailer was converted. The third one, he went to Galatia, Ephesus, Greece, Macedonia, all these places, people preaching the gospel. Look, don't preach this church. Preach Jesus.
Amen.
Wherever you're at. You're in the store, and let me tell you, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is being poured out upon our nation. The Spirit of God is being poured upon the churches that want him. The Spirit of God is being poured out upon a people that desire him. And let me tell you, wherever you're at, God will speak sometimes to you. Just be in tune with him. And God will say, I want you to go and pray with that person. And I know it's hard sometimes, but you get up and you go and you do those things that need to be done according to what he's spoken to you to do. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I don't do it right? Let me tell you, he's chosen you. You'll do it right. You might say, well, what if I fumble on my words? So what? Moses stuttered. You knew that? Moses stuttered. And God could have healed him, but he chose to, Moses asked for his brother to come and speak for him. See, God is in the healing business. Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this. Paul had done all these great things for the kingdom of God. Look at this, verse 6. It says this at the end of his life. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. Here Paul had gotten to the place where he was an elderly man, and he knew his time of departure from this earth to heaven was about at hand. It's about coming. But Paul had did everything that he knew of to try to satisfy the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what God had called him to. Until you have your last breath, you and I are to do the will of the Father. In the kingdom of God, I've said this before, there's no retirement. You know, in our earthly jobs, you know, you work 25, 30 years, whatever, and you retire. You know, the body gets whatever. But in the kingdom of God, there's no retirement. You know, there's always something that God will want you to. You know, you have pastors that are retired from the pulpit, and it takes a lot to preach the gospel. They say preaching the gospel, a sermon that you preach, is around an 8-hour day working physically somewhere on a job somewhere. That's what it consists of, somebody that puts the effort into it. But, you know, I'm not talking about just retirement from the pulpit, but even after you do that, there's always things that God will call you to do. But let me tell you, God is working in you and through you. God, you know, there are people that need to be visited. There are people that need to be prayed for. The ministry goes on far beyond the four walls of this place. Beyond this, where people are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm in the store and somebody comes and you just start sharing Jesus. Let me tell you, that's preaching. I may preach from this pulpit, but that's just as much preaching the gospel as anything else. You're doing what God says for you to do. Don't back down from the truth of the gospel. Don't back down from what you know is truth. You stand up for the scriptures. You stand up for what is right. And you declare the praises of your God to this generation. And Paul knew his time had come short or was ending. And the time of my departure is at hand. It's almost through. But it says this in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. You know, one thing it says in the comments, it says that he had been faithful to carry out that which had been assigned to him. Paul had been faithful to carry out those things that had been assigned to him. Have you and I been faithful with the things that God has put before us to do for his kingdom? You know, it says that, you know, we will all, at the end of that scripture, it talks, verse, I think, 8 or 9, it says that we will all receive a crown of righteousness. All of that love, his appearing, his coming. He's coming for us. That crown of righteousness. And it only goes to those who are awaiting his arrival to come. That's why all Christians aren't going to get it. Not all people are waiting for it. You know, but faithful in the things of God. Faithful with the things of God. Have you been faithful with what he's given? And probably, you know, you can say yes or no. That's really in your court. That's up to you. And let me ask you something. Have you been faithful with the call that God has placed upon your life? It may be to serve meals. It may be to, you know, clean the church. It may be to whatever it is, what help with children, church, youth. I pray, Lord, do something. Raise up men and women in this place. You know, we've been here 9 years. We have prayed for a worship leader. And honestly, I think God has given us some. But because of their faithlessness and not doing what God wanted them to do, they've lost out. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, hey, I've had 3-4 people come talk to me about that stuff. You know what I tell them? You might be like, what? I don't tell them, run up there and do what you want to do. I tell them, you sit in the audience, and I want you to learn to worship God for the next 3 or 4 months. And I can see in their eyes like, this is not a show. It's not a show. We don't have lights, you know, blinking all over and all that stuff. This is not smoke going on around them. This is not a show. This is how great is our God. And yes, he wants the best, but that's not what it is. You know, and so I said, sit in that audience, sit in that seat for 3 to 4 months, and then come talk to me, and we'll see what happens. Not a one has stayed. And I don't say that pleasurably, because I still try to stay in contact with him. You see, the heart is what God looks at. The heart is what God looks at. I talked to somebody, well, they went to some other church somewhere. They couldn't go to their church somewhere because something happened that morning. A pipe broke under their house and all this. And so, you know, you have to fix those things. I mean, things happen, you know. And so he said, well, I mean, you know, here I am on my route. He's telling me all this. Well, I said, and he was telling me how great it was and all the stuff. And I said, oh, thank God. And then I looked at him and I said, let me ask you something. He said, what? This man's in his 60s, 50s, 60s. I said, did you feel the presence of God in that place? And I could tell it, all his blood from his face drained. And he looked at me and he said, no. And all I told him was, basically, you better run. You better run. You better run. See, God is looking at faithfulness, people. Faithful with the things that God has placed before you. Faithful with the money God has given me. Am I faithful with it to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ? To do what he says to do with it? Am I faithful in my attendance, you know, towards God, towards the church? Am I faithful in the things that God has placed in me to do? You see, and only you can answer for yourself, because I'm not here to point. No. But what I'm saying is, God counted this man Paul. Now, Paul was in jail, I don't know how many times. Paul was stoned, I don't know how many times. Left for dead, I don't know how many times. And still revived. And preached the gospel. I mean, I don't know of any of us that have been stoned lately, you know. We might feel like it, but, you know, not stoned with some stones here. But still coming faithful. See, God is looking for faithfulness. Faithful to get up. You know, look, everybody likes to sleep, huh? Oh, when you get in that bed, it's like you get in a coma almost, you know. But you know, God is looking for some people that maybe need to get up a little earlier just to seek God. Just to seek God. Have that cup of coffee on the side, but you're sitting in that chair seeking God. Calling out the names of family members, calling out the names of your pastor before God, saying, God, move upon him, move upon him. Asking God to move, asking God to move. An extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes, here or there, or at night, whatever time. But spending a little bit more time of being faithful to him and to his ways. Now, look at this. It says that he has kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which is a victor's crown, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. So here we see, we love his appearing, and we know he's coming for us. Psalms 101 verse 6 says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lord, that they may dwell with me. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Yes, yeah. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Being faithful to the things of God. Look, Paul was a faithful man. Saul was dedicated to the persecution of Christians, the way, because he came against all that the Egyptians and all the religious leaders believed. And when he got saved, he gave his all to the things of God and said, Father, whatever I have is yours. Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. And I know you have a heart for God, just like I do, a heart for God. We want God to move upon us, upon our church, upon this area. It's going to take faithfulness for God's people to do it, to see God come in and change lives like never before. You know the answer to the drug problem? And let me tell you, drugs, I'm talking about illegal drugs, and even you can go, sometimes legal drugs is not that good. I mean, it makes you a little crazy. But that's, you know, but you know, illegal drugs, I mean, it has bound people and children, young people. I mean, it has destroyed people's lives. You know, the only answer, they send them to mental places and all kind of places, and they get off a little while, then, you know, 6 months later, they back on that and worse, you know. We have, the church has the answer.
Come on.
The world doesn't.
Hey.
The world does not have the answer. That is the absolute, now they'll say we don't have the answer. But we know the answer is Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
What he did at Calvary's cross. He paid the price. He won victory over death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
And we can have victory in every area of our lives. And I'll tell you what, that's the answer to these young people and some elderly people, you know, to the drugs that has taken over. It has destroyed many lives. But I tell you what, we have the truth of the gospel. And we know a God that can break that bondage. Looks like he's broken many bondages in our own personal lives, huh?
Amen.
I mean, off of our minds, off of our hearts. You know, listening to the men and guys, you know, how God has literally just taken things out of them, you know. I mean, sin out of them. You know, not all of us, but just to hear how God has broken those things. That's the mighty God we serve, people. How mighty is he? Look, be faithful to him. Be faithful to him. In all the things that God has given you. Might say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure what areas. Just pray and say, Lord, show me. Show me. And he will help us to see those places. You are a great bunch of people. I tell you, I love you guys. And I pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon your home, upon your lives, in your marriages, in your children, in your grandchildren. That before Jesus comes, that you will see them sitting next to you in one of these chairs here. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. Because the world has to bow to the blood of Jesus and to the things of God. Keep believing. Be faithful with what God has given you. Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what you have. And say, thank you, Lord, for what I have. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to give me more. You're going to move on these situations, Lord. What a great God we serve. Great, like we said earlier, is our God. Because he is our refuge that we run to. Praise God. Would you please stand?